Greetings to each and every one of you who share this time with us by way of the recorded message. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you this day. Good morning and welcome to a brand new venture in ministry out of Jesus is Lord Church. This Sunday morning and next Sunday morning, we will be recording our messages and sending them your way, either through the CD recording, which will be delivered to you by hand, or you are able to receive this message through the website, Jesus is Lord Church. First of all, I would like to say we understand this is a breakthrough for our ministry at Jesus is Lord Church. This takes me back, friends, to a time when I was in Cleveland, and it was my privilege to have a five-day-a-week broadcast known as Servants of the King. This was a 15-minute radio broadcast that each day brought sharings from the Word of the Lord, and that was one of the exciting times, seasons, you might say, of my ministry. And so now here we are launching this effort beginning today. How long this will continue, of course, we don't know. What I want you, first of all, to receive would be the directions that the Lord gave us on Friday, March 20th. I had called together a gathering of some of our leadership people, and we came together at about 1 o'clock Friday afternoon, and the first thing we did was we prayed. We prayed and we asked the Lord for guidance as to what we are to do at this time of national concern. Some would call it a national or worldwide crisis. And the discernment that came to this leadership group was that we were to pray, and we were to consider scripture, and we were to share common thoughts that we believe the Lord would give to us as to the direction for this congregation at this time in our history. Now, as a result of that, the Lord gave us the scripture, which I would like to have each of you be aware of today. It is written in the Word of the Lord, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, these words, "For God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind." So there are three gifts that the Lord promises in that scripture. Number one is power. Of course, that's a reference to the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit's power. Number two, and so crucial, is a spirit of love. Love reaches out, love conquers all. But more also of importance is the third promise, and that is a sound mind. The gift of the Holy Spirit to bring us power and create love, that's a work that the Holy Spirit does in your spirit and in my spirit. But that's not all there is to the human person. We all have minds. We have thoughts. We have emotions. We have a will that makes decisions. That's the realm of our soul. And that third part of the promise that he has spoken to us about the gift of a sound mind is telling us that the Lord wants to take any fear that may be in us, any anxiety, anxiousness, extreme worry, take that away and give in its place to our soul a sound mind. We can think correctly. We can think biblically. We can think as the Lord would have us to think. And so we're grateful to have begun our meeting on Friday with this powerful word of promise from the Lord. Now, I've been asked to share with you the decisions that were made by this leadership group on Friday. And here they are. Number one, we would cancel worship services for two Sundays, March 22nd and March 29. That's a very serious decision. Canceling a worship service would require a strong word from the Lord, and we believe that He has spoken to us in this regard. The Bible is very clear in Romans 13 that we are all to be under authority. And while we have not been able to garner any directions from the governor of Michigan and Michigan guidelines, we have our national guidelines that have been set out by the Coronavirus Task Force, which is recommending, it's not a law, but recommending that groups of not more than 10 would not meet. Therefore, in following that guideline, we have more than 10 people that would be here on a Sunday morning. So Sunday mornings, March 22, March 29, we will not gather. Also along that line, decision number two, we would cancel the dialogue sessions that begin at 10 o'clock on the same two Sundays. These are these powerful video presentations we've been enjoying entitled The Grave Robber. They will continue following the reopening of our Sunday morning schedule. Then the third decision is that this leadership group will meet again on April 3rd. That's before the first Sunday of April. April the 3rd, we'll meet again, and we will reevaluate where we are at that time. And similarly, as we have this time, we will notify you by email, or if you don't have email access, by a personal telephone call. The fourth decision that was made by the leadership group is, first of all, that we would continue gatherings during the week of 10 or less people, and that would include the following ministries. First of all would be the Monday morning 7 a.m. Pray Petoskey. We will continue to meet here at Jesus' Lord Church Monday mornings 7 a.m. Tuesday morning SWAT team, which meets at 10:30 every other Sunday, that will continue to meet. Tuesday manna will continue to minister from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. There have been some refinements and changes in how that will function, and it will be made clear at that time to those who arrive. Also, we will continue with our Wednesday evening prayer circle, which meets at 6:30. The Thursday Bible study, body, soul, and spirit, will not meet for 2 weeks, but will continue thereafter. And the Tuesday morning Bible study that meets every other Tuesday morning will continue to meet at 9:30. So those are the schedules of weekly gatherings, ministries, that will occur unhindered. Now the fifth decision that was made, I'm very excited about this. As we were praying during the week, and anticipating that we might find it necessary to close services on Sunday, I knew that there was no way that I could risk the fact that the church door would be locked and maybe a sign put on it, no service today. I knew that was not the heart of Father God. And so I committed to the leadership group that I personally would be here on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, coffee made as usual, just in case someone who did not get the message would arrive and find that the church doors would be open and there would be a greeting for them. Well, just as we anticipated, this morning at 9 o'clock, I saw a car drive in, and here was our dear, dear friend, Chris Cornell. He can't work during this time. He didn't get the word, but he's with us, and he's sharing this time in the sanctuary as we go forward. Now, what we will be doing during this time is each Sunday we will create, by way of recorded technology, our Sunday morning message, but we will also include in that, as we would on Sunday morning at church, any announcements, and we will have a list of prayers that we would pray and ask you to pray, as we always do when we are together. Now, those are the essential points of our plan at this time, and I would like to invite you, first of all, to share these times that we have together by way of recorded message, but also, if you choose, to make others aware that this ministry is available and share that with them as well, along with the address of the website as to how they can connect with us. We also want to make an invitation that if you have any questions during this time that have to do with communications, announcements, prayer requests, whatever they may be, we invite you to call Gwen Erickson. She's the director of our deacons ministry, and most all of you have her telephone number, and she will take care of that. If you have any ministry questions, questions about the ministry, I want you to call me. Call me personally. Love to speak with you. And my telephone number, of course, area code 231-347-2866. Now, as far as announcements are concerned for this week, first of all, we have this opportunity right now, 9 o'clock Sunday morning, to be together for prayer and to record the message for this week. I am joined by my partner and beloved brother, Marvin Verink. He's our technology expert, an old radio man, and he's just exactly the right person to be here with us and share this time together. And as I said, Brother Chris Cornell is also here with us at this time. Therefore, Monday morning, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, pray Petoskey right here at Jesus' Lord Church. Tuesday morning, 10:30, SWAT. The SWAT prayer team will meet. And from 12 to 3, the manna food distribution will go forward. Wednesday of this week, 6:30, there will be a gathering of our Wednesday prayer circle. And then Thursday, the Bible study, Body, Soul, and Spirit, is not going to meet. And Friday, I don't know of any meetings here at the church. Saturday morning, I am always here to pray over the church and available at about 10 o'clock in the morning. Now for our prayer requests. Each Sunday morning, as you know, we invite you to write out any prayer requests you might have. Now we're asking you to call in any prayer requests which you might have. But I have put together with Marvin a small list here for today for you to consider. First of all, we want to pray for all who are in authority, especially during this time. Now, this, folks, is not just a national crisis. This is a worldwide crisis, pandemic, they call it. We need to pray for the hand of the Lord to be powerfully involved in this crisis. We also need to pray for that task force that's charged with the decisions and the recommendations pertaining thereto. We also had a suggestion from Brother Chris Cornell that we remember the truckers. I heard that yesterday on an update, how crucial it is that truckers who are delivering these absolutely critical supplies, longer hours, unusual schedules, that we lift them up in prayer at this time. Now, I also would suggest that we remember in prayer daughter Jessica. She had her surgery. She's recovering. We pray, of course, every day for our brother Lloyd Peterson and Joyce. They're back now in Harbor Springs. And would you please also remember in prayer our beloved Sister Margaret? Of course, she's at Mallard Cove, along with Mrs. Lupton and Dr. Waters. They cannot go in or out. Now, those are the announcements. Those are the prayer requests that we're suggesting to you. And it is time for us now to turn to our message for today. I would like to direct your hearts to the Gospel of John. Now, if you have a Bible where you are right now, you might wish to open your Bible to the Gospel of John. And we turn to chapter 15, and we're going to begin reading with verse 7. John, chapter 15, beginning with verse 7, this is the word of the Lord. Jesus is speaking, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." That's the key verse, verse 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." That is our text for this Sunday's message. And as we continue now, I want to remind you that during these weeks of Lent, we selected a theme that has been very, very well received. The overall title of our Lenten theme, "The Many Faces of Jesus." And today, this Sunday morning, particularly, the face of joy. There are many, many different faces that we can observe in the life of Jesus. Now, we don't have a video of Jesus' ministry. We don't have photographs or pictures. We don't even have artists' renderings of all of the different possible faces of Jesus. But we know that a person's face communicates much of who they are and what they are thinking. So we've considered already Jesus' face, the face of determination. And last 2 weeks, we have looked at the face of compassion, the face of compassion. I haven't had that many comments about a message for quite some time as our message on the face of compassion. Now, as you all know, we are walking through these days a special time of crisis. We call it a crisis. Worldwide pandemic is another phrase that is used. And what that tells us is that we're at a time that is absolutely unprecedented, not just in our nation's history, but virtually the entire world. The entire world is feeling the assault of this invisible, deadly foe. Therefore, it is imperative that the Lord's people come together and pray and seek Him and ask for His guidance, for His wisdom, and especially for His discernment. We don't know the duration of this epidemic. We know at this point, no yet known therapy. There is no present known therapy. We know that there is not yet a known vaccine that will stop this outbreak in future years. This is an unprecedented, widespread outbreak. And I think back to the years of my study of history, in the writings of Thomas Paine. And Thomas Paine said, "These are the times that try men's souls." There is a battle today for the souls of mankind. It isn't just a virus assaulting individuals' physical nature, physical person. There's a battle, a struggle, a war for the souls of men, how people are thinking, how they're feeling, how they're responding to various suggestions, guidelines, in some cases, actual rules. And so I thought, as I prayed and prayed and prayed over this these last few days, this is a time for us to stop and consider today the life of Jesus, the face of joy. The face of joy. Now that subject was not part of my original outline of what I wanted to discuss with you. There are other faces that I had planned and wrote down. But in this particular season, it just seemed to me that it was imperative that we consider biblically, Jesus' face of joy. Now, most of you are familiar with the scripture because we've used it here at Jesus as Lord Church many times. From the Old Testament, the word of Nehemiah, and I'm going to just open my Bible that's in front of me here so I can read this with you. This is the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, and it's verse 10. Verse 10. "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet,'" and I love this part of the verse, "'send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared.'" That's so crucial in this day for us to remember those who are in need, those who are destitute or are suffering in many different ways. "Send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord." Now this admonition, "Do not sorrow. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's the key. That's the secret as to how we will move through this time and come out on the other side victorious, rejoicing, and giving thanks, and filled with the hope of the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord is the source of our hope and strength, because the word of the Lord is given to us by the Holy Spirit. Now I want to move to another portion of our message, which I have entitled, "The Biblical Principle of Joy." The Biblical Principle of Joy. And it's important that we clarify right here at the beginning of this section that most people have a serious confusion over the difference of happiness versus joy. So let's clarify. Happiness is a work that is carried out in your soul. Your soul is that portion of your life that includes your mind. That's your brain, your mind, your thoughts. Number two, your emotions, how you feel. And number three, your will, your decisions. I will do this, I won't do that. I always say that's Satan's playground, the area of the soul. Happiness is strictly a product of your soul. On the other hand, joy is a whole different scene. Joy is the work that the Holy Spirit does in your spirit, in your human spirit. Therefore, they are not to be confused with each other. Happiness is the result, mostly, of your circumstances, what you're dealing with, what you're going through. However, joy is the gift of the Holy Spirit transmitted directly to your spirit. Now, the Lord gave me an illustration of this about, Thursday maybe. I was praying about this, wanting to get a clear illustration of how these two are so very different. And so he gave me the thought of an automobile engine, the engine that's in every automobile. And as each of you know, an automobile engine requires at least two major fluids to operate. First of all, a well-tuned, maintained automobile engine requires oil. It requires oil for lubrication and for the smooth operation of that vehicle. However, a well-tuned, planned, cared-for automobile engine also requires gasoline. Gasoline is the power for the operation of the vehicle. Without gasoline, you go nowhere. Now, consider this. You cannot put the gasoline in the area where the engine oil is supposed to go. It won't work. On the other hand, you cannot put engine oil in your gas tank. These are two separate functions, two separate operations. Oil goes for lubrication, smooth operation. Gasoline goes for power to move forward. That's why that verse, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, is so crucial in these days and in your life. It is the joy of the Lord that will be your strength. It will get you through. It will create hope and strength, a power for you to live victoriously through these difficult days. Well, the devil wants to steal your joy. More than anything, I believe the devil wants to steal the joy of individuals, because when the devil steals your joy, then you will become weak and defenseless. Now, the next portion of our message, I want to just very quickly share with you several scriptures that teach us about the Father's gift of joy. There are dozens, many, many scriptures that cover this whole area of joy as a gift of the Lord. And let's be very clear, no one can create joy in his spirit by himself. Joy has to be a gift. It's considered, it's a part of what the scriptures call the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But we find the promise of Father God saturated throughout the entire Bible from the beginning to the end. And I want to just share with you today several scriptures. You might want to write these down, and you can consider them a little later when you have time to think about this yourself. But I'm just going to very quickly go through these pretty much without comment. First of all, there are a couple of scriptures from the Old Testament. The first being Psalm 16, verse 11, Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." In your presence is fullness of joy. "At your right hand are pleasures evermore." Isn't that powerful? And then let's move right along to Psalm 126. That's, of course, obviously a few more pages over here. Psalm 126. And we look at verse 5. Psalm 126, verse 5. "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall come again with rejoicing." And so the Bible is clear. We go through times of testing, times of trial, times of sickness, or however you wish to describe it. But as those who are experiencing the tears and the weeping, the Lord has promised we shall reap in joy as his gift. Now we move over to that powerful Old Testament book of Isaiah, and I've got a couple amazing scriptures for you from the book of Isaiah. The first one is Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. I'm kind of chuckling here because we used to sing a powerful song from this scripture. I promised the leadership team I wouldn't sing to you today. I'm not a very good singer, but I remember this beautiful worship song. It's Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "Therefore," I love that, "therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Now, of course, wells speak of water. Always in Scripture, remember, water is a reference to the Holy Spirit, the life-giving water of life, of salvation. And the Holy Spirit has caused to be written here, "With joy, you will draw water." Well, where does this water of joy originate? It originates from only the wells of salvation, not the wells of logic, reason, philosophy, politics, government. No. That is not the source of the water of joy. The source of the water of joy is from the wells of salvation. And then he goes on to say, verse 4, "And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted." And then I love this verse 5. "Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out, shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." And where is the Holy One of Israel today? Dear friends, he's in your midst. He's in the midst of your family. He's in the midst of your congregation. He's in the midst of your employment, if you belong to him and you've received him into your heart. Now, just very quickly, I already read at the beginning, so I'm not going to reread that, the beautiful scripture text in John chapter 15. But there is also in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John another very beautiful promise, and that is John chapter 16, verse 20. And it says, this is Jesus speaking now, folks, "Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful." And so this is kind of an interesting thing. Christian people today are some weeping in deep, deep concern. The world goes on its way. It does whatever the world does, although there's less maybe rejoicing of the world today than usual. But that contrast is there. But notice what he promises. Though we may be for a time weeping, he says, your sorrow will be turned into joy. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. And then I love this final promise that I want to share with you. This is, of course, from the writings of the Apostle Paul in chapter 12. It is, chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Now, please hear this carefully. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God, that's what we're talking about here, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not what it's all about. A lot of emphasis and focus and worry on that, but that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about righteousness and peace, and then get this, joy in the Holy Spirit. And so while many people are concerned about a multitude, a myriad of many, many, many things, the Lord's people looking to him, dwelling in his presence, are being filled with confidence, hope, peace, and joy, because the kingdom of God brings to us that powerful gift of the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now the final section of this message today. Oh, and by the way, since I don't have a dialogue hour today at 10 o'clock, I'm not constricted to a 15-minute sermon. So this has probably gone on a little longer, and that's okay, I believe, because I wanted to get all of these important thoughts out to you today. Now, this is the key to the whole deal. Jesus, the face of joy. During this Lenten season, there are many pictures, there have been a lot of movies made about the passion of Christ, that period of time. And folks, you just don't see a joyful Jesus around these scenes of the passion, the trial, the cross, the death of Christ. You just don't see such a picture. That's because oftentimes our pictures, our impressions of anything, are totally governed by our own human perceptions. And they can be faulty. They can be cockeyed, as we used to say back in Fremont. They can be wrong, just plain wrong. And so it takes the Bible to lift us out of our misconceptions, misperceptions, and give us accurate data about what really is and is not. Now, here is one of the key is's. I recall when I first began to work at the Nehemiah Homeless Shelter, and we had a little tiny area, kind of a little room, you might call it, where there was a telephone. It was a community telephone. Anyone living there could use the phone. And you would go in this little room and sit down in a chair, and you could make a phone call. No cost, no charge, no pay phone. Just call whoever. And above the telephone was a picture of Christ. And the first time I went in that little room and I wanted to make a phone call, there's only one phone. We didn't have walker phones or cell phones back then. Just one phone. I went in that little room to make that phone call. And over the phone, this picture of Jesus. And he was laughing. I mean, he wasn't laughing. He was exultingly, profoundly laughing. Of course, you couldn't hear him. But the artist had drawn this in such a way that Jesus' head was thrown back and his mouth was wide open, and he was laughing. And the title under the picture was The Laughing Christ. And I thought, now there is a distortion if I ever saw one. What artist would paint a picture of Jesus like that? Well, sometime later, I found in my library of hundreds of books, which I sometimes forget I have, a book by Dr. Buttrick, who was one of the powerful theologians of days past, preacher, theologian, writer, powerful, powerful Christian brother. He wrote a book. And the title of the book is The Humor of Jesus. And I thought, the humor of Jesus? Well, this book highlighted various instances in the ministry of Jesus where with his words and his actions, he was bringing humor into a situation. One of the key words that I remember, the illustration of Jesus talking about how much easier it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a sinner to enter the kingdom. And of course, you know, in the seminary, we spent hours wondering, well, how would a camel, how big would that needle? And they missed the whole point. It was a humorous statement. It was meant to be humorous. It was humor for illustration. But here was laughing Jesus. Well, then, as the Holy Spirit is so faithful, he ultimately brought me to the key scripture of this entire message, which is found in the book of Hebrews. By the way, we're studying the book of Hebrews in our Bible study, which is all about the ministry of Jesus. And we're not to chapter 12 yet, but we'll get there. So I'm jumping ahead for you this morning to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. This is a mind blower. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. This is what it says. Looking unto Jesus. Well, that's what we're to be doing. Looking to Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. I love that phrase. Author and finisher of our faith. Now get this. Who for the joy. There's that word. Who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, can you explain that verse to me? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's no rational explanation for this scripture, except the promise of God through the Holy Spirit. Does it say Jesus was happy thinking about the cross? Does it say as Jesus was going through the betrayal and the trial and the crucifixion that he was happy? No. He was sorrowful. He was being cut apart by those whips. No. What it says is that in the midst of all of that, Jesus faced all of that pain and denial and betrayal with joy. How is that possible? How is that possible? Because joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. And as Jesus faced all of that, far greater suffering than humans will ever know, because on top of that, he bore all the sins of all mankind upon his shoulders. So it's unbelievable, unbelievable pain and suffering. But in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit gave to our Lord Jesus this amazing gift of joy. Joy. Well, how could that be? Well, his focus was not on the current circumstances. His focus was not on what he was going through. It says here, his focus was set upon the fact that he would be set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus' focus was on the victory. It was on the power of Father God, on the eventual overcoming of all of this. And this brought him joy, and the joy of the Lord was his strength. How did Jesus get that strength to go through that? The joy of the Lord is his strength. Now, I hope you get this. I hope this really strikes a chord in you. You're coming through this time with you, your loved ones, your family, your outlook for our nation and whatever, it's going to depend, folks, on your joy, on the reality of Scripture. and of the Holy Spirit to bring to you the gift of joy. It doesn't mean you're going to have a happy time. No, there will be certain challenges, maybe suffering to some degree, but they can't destroy the joy, and it's the joy that's the source of the strength. I picked up a quotation here from one of our videos that we're watching on the grave robber, and I wrote it down and brought it with me this morning because I thought it might be meaningful to you. And now listen to this. This is Mark Batterson, Pastor Mark Batterson, in the message, The Grave Robber. This is what he says. Sometimes you find yourself not where you want to be. Sometimes you find yourself not where you want to be, but where you need to be. Where you need to be. Now, dear friends, we are at a place in our nation where we don't want to be. Nobody wants to be here. Nobody wants this going on and happening and not knowing where it's all headed. But I want to say this to you. We may not be today where we want to be, but by golly, we are exactly where the Lord wants us to be. Therefore, we need to find out, what is it that he has for us to do? What extensions of our ministry is he calling us to undertake? For example, today, this technological gift, creation of coming here and recording the service and sending it out over a website and a CD recording. Who would have ever thought weeks ago that we'd be doing something like this? Marvin and I sitting in an empty sanctuary, precious brother Chris Cornell is here to join us, and the Lord is here. But who would have thought that we would be here? But we are exactly where we ought to be, where the Lord has placed us. And only he knows how he's going to use these days, these times, our gifts, our ministry, our prayers, most importantly our prayers, to accomplish what he wants to do. Now, every once in a while, I will share with you a little bit from our devotional, our daily bread. We put these on the bench, on the tables, pass them out every time they come, every 3 months. And I read them every day. This is how I start my day. And about Wednesday, it says Wednesday, March, it's pretty small print, the 18th. I read these words. Now, this, you know, I don't know when they put these things together. I have no idea. So why would there be a little writing on joy 3 days before I needed that little message for this message for you? Well, I guess the Holy Spirit is the ghostwriter. And so here's what it says. It was 1985. Anthony Roy Hinton, H-I-N-T-O-N, Anthony Roy Hinton, was charged with the murders of two restaurant managers. But it was a setup. He'd been miles away when the crimes happened. But he was found guilty and sentenced to death. While at the trial, Ray forgave those who lied about him, adding that he still had joy despite this injustice. He said, quote, "After my death, I am going to heaven. Where are you going?" Life on death row was hard for Ray. Prison lights flickered whenever the electric chair was used for others, a grim reminder of what lay ahead. Ray passed a lie detector test, but the results were ignored. One of the many injustices he faced as his case was reheard. Now hear this. Finally, on Good Friday, 2015. Now, 1985 to 2015, Ray's conviction was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. He'd been on death row for nearly 30 years. His life is a testament to the reality of God. Because of his faith in Jesus, Ray had a hope beyond his trial and experienced supernatural joy in the face of injustice. This joy that I have, Ray said after his release, they couldn't ever take that away from me in prison. Such joy proved his faith to be genuine. Death row joy. That's hard to fabricate, but it points us to a God who exists even though he's unseen and who's ready to sustain us in our own ordeals. Well, that brings us to the close of our message for this Sunday. My prayer is that you have received this word, that it will bless you, that it will encourage you, it will inspire you to consider what the Lord has for you at this time, this day, this hour, and what he has for this congregation. For these are times that the Lord uses to do his greatest work. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the time we've had today to bring this powerful word of Scripture to your people. May you, by the Holy Spirit, take this word and burn it into the spirits of each of us as we walk through these days. We still don't know what's ahead of us, but we know who is ahead of us, because Psalm 139 says, you go before us, you go behind us, and all the while your hand is upon our heads. We know who goes before us. Bless our congregation, bless all who hear this word today, bless the President of the United States and all who are in authority, and keep us in your loving care. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.